we're better than another church, or we're this great, you know, church, and, you know, we're the greatest church ever, or whatever. I happen to think our church is the greatest church because that's why I'm here. I like it. But I realize that, you know, we're not the greatest church ever, and God is doing other things in other places. But at the same time, I recognize something, and I want to really pass along vision, and I want to pass along foundational things that God has taught me through the last 10 years in ministry on this retreat to you guys. As I look out, I see people that really are, I talk about a movement, we've got about 70 people here in this room at a leadership retreat. We were lucky in the beginning to get 70 guys at a men's retreat, 70 gals at a women's retreat, 70 people at an all-church retreat. Why is there 70 people at a leadership retreat? Because God is moving. Because God is doing a work. Because God is... That's not thunder. That's just the Spirit of the Lord. It's a movement. Because God is moving. And when I talk about movement, and I take some time here to define this, when I talk about movement, I'm talking about the moving of God's Spirit amongst us. We have here today represented what Aaron calls them, the Montana crew. They're those that went out, for some of you from California, went out, planted a church up in Montana. Then there's some of you that have now are coming from Montana. That's where you were born and raised. And God has brought you into this movement. I want to pass on some vision to you, some foundational things that you weren't able to see. Of the early days of what God did in, quote, you've heard, the backyard. Ooh, the backyard. We have represented here, as we call it, and Mike Bubbo makes it, fun of it, the Africa team. You know, he says, we got jerseys, we're the team. Well, we have no other way to say it. The Africa missionaries sound more spiritual. We have, you know, those represented here. And do be praying for Donnie and Shayla, because they're not with us right now. They're ill, and they're going to be trying to make it up today. Pray that the Lord doesn't hinder them. Obviously, God would love to have them here. Satan wouldn't. Thinking about Donnie and Shayla going now to Kampala, planting a church there in Kampala. We have with us the huge, overwhelming England team, Tammy and Drew. And so there's people really literally here from all over the globe. And truly, it's a blessing. There's people here from Saving Grace here in California. Clive over here, he's going to be taking off on us Tuesday night. Wednesday, he flies out to Belize. He's going to be doing a vision tour in Belize. And, you know, we have, quote, the Mexico team here, those that are praying about going to Mexico. And seeking the Lord on that. And so there's a lot of things that God is doing, that God is preparing us to see done. And then there's just those of us that are servants in the church at home, those of you up in Montana that are simply servants in the church there, that I really fear, and I have a fear, and I'll tell you, I have a very genuine fear that as the movement goes on, as God continues to increase, as it's obvious he's doing and is going to continue to do, unless we fall into sin or something. I have a fear that we are going to miss the whole purpose, the whole point of what God began. And that was a simple love for Jesus Christ burning in the hearts of people. I honestly fear, and I pray that this week there might be an impartation given to you of that simple truth. So this whole week, we're going to look at that. We're going to just walk through what I believe is the way to walk with Christ simply. Really, the things that I have found in the last 10 years in my life that have been key cornerstones, key things that have kept me. Now, in that, I'm talking about not just walking with God, but I'm talking about walking with God with simplicity. But I'm not just talking about walking with God with simplicity. I'm talking about walking with God with simplicity in the midst of ministry. There's a big difference. just walking with God with simplicity, having a job, doing, you know, coming to church Sundays, but I'm talking about in the midst of ministry. For some of you, the levels of ministry are different. Some of you right now are engaged in ministry. And some of the things I'll share, you'll be like, yes, yes, these have been inner struggles and nobody's really, I've never shared them or talked about them, but boy, yes, I relate with what's going on. I see with what's happening, inner struggles. Some of you aren't in that place yet. They're going to be ideas to you. I can remember when I was in Bible school. I was amongst a mixed group of guys. I was in ministry. I was pastoring a little flock, really. We had the Bible study, and I was ministering in a real, you know, deep way. I was doing counseling. We were dealing with different issues. I was teaching the Word. A lot less than I'm doing now. But I remember sitting in class hearing pastors share about ministry and just grabbing it because I was there. My fellow brothers that were just as in love with God as I was and, you know, had a foundation in the Word were in the same place as me, but they weren't in ministry. They didn't get it. I could see it just go right over their head because they weren't in it, so it didn't mean anything to me, to them. What it meant to me was very impacting. Was like, oh, yeah, oh, okay. And I was just hanging on to every word. Some of you are going to be hanging on to every word. Some of you are going to go, well, that's interesting, but you've never experienced it. I would encourage you that have never experienced it and are in that place of, those are neat theories, neat ideas, to take notes, to really engage your mind and to say, hey, maybe I don't know it yet, but I'm going to know it. If God has called you and you're going to follow Him, you're going to know. And you're going to really appreciate a warning before. I'm sure wish I had a few warnings. Amen, Matt? Amen. I'll tell you, I fear that as I look, and I want to say, man, I look at the movement and I am so blown away. I am so tremendously blessed of seeing what God is doing, of seeing the things that are happening. Each time I go out, whether it was recently when I was up in Montana, I can't tell you how blessed I was in that church. I was just so blown away, so honored, so amazed at what God was doing. The blessings that came as I was there were incredible. As I go to Africa, you know, as I go to England, I can't tell you how blessed I am as I just simply fellowship with people in the body. We are in the midst of a movement. And Drew stole my message yesterday. You're going to see that clearly. I'm going to still teach it, but Drew stole it. Actually, Drew gave us a good prep. If you enjoyed Sunday morning, you're going to enjoy this because that was an introduction to the leadership retreat. And so, Drew, I'm sure you'll really like it. You know, there's just a real sense of blessing and God moving. But as the senior pastor of this movement, I'll tell you, there's a fear in my heart. A fear that we're not going to keep the main thing the main thing. A fear that some of us might don't know what the main thing is. Because we weren't established in that, maybe. We've maybe never even experienced some of the things that really this movement began with. And so my prayer is a call back. Paul says, I fear lest somehow, and hear the words clearly, Satan has deceived as he did Eve. Satan hates this movement. Satan hates me. Satan always loves to get me ill. And I'll tell you what, this last time I was sick, and I got sick Tuesday night, and this is the first time that I've been able to function since then. I knew when I got sick. Okay, now, I get sick a lot, and I'm not one to real spiritualize things. You're sick. Why are you sick? Because you got sick. You know, what's going on? You're sick. This time I knew that I was sick, an absolute affliction by the enemy. And God led me to Job chapter 1 and just chapter 2 and saw how that Satan afflicted Job with sickness. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about that thorn in his flesh. And he alludes it to the messenger of Satan, the buffeter from Satan. It's a work of the enemy. And he simply there says that God speaks to him. Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you. And he says there, that thorn in the flesh, it was an infirmity he talks about there. The infirmity that he had. His frequent infirmity. And I'll tell you what, there is no question on my mind, Satan has tried to hinder me from being here this week. Because God has some things to speak that are key. Satan wants to deceive. He wants to deceive you. He wants to deceive me. And where's his deception? He wants to get us all caught up in knowledge, in missions, in preaching the gospel. You say, is that bad? No. And you know that I'm not saying that's bad if you've been around my teachings. I'm the guy that pushes for, you know, hermeneutics in our schools. You know, I'm the guy that's excited about some good, solid, good, meaty commentaries. That's great if you keep the main thing the main thing. I'm all about preaching the gospel. Would love just to see the streets covered with the tracts and the gospel. And, you know, when we go to England, I'd love just to see that place just wiped out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's nothing greater. And that's our vision. And missions? Do I need to go any farther? It's the burning passion of my heart. As I believe it is a burning passion of God's heart. But boy, all of those things are distractions if we don't keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is a simple, spirit-filled walk with Jesus Christ. Keith, you remember back in the early days, just born again and loving the Lord. What was that song, you know? There it is. Born again, free from the sting of sin, just plain old walking in the grace that's given. And I mean, Keith, you were in the backyard. You remember that simplicity that maybe we were ignorant. Maybe we didn't know, you know, about textual criticism. Maybe we, you know, had no clue. Maybe we didn't know anything about church history. Maybe we didn't know about hermeneutics. Maybe we didn't know anything. But we knew this, born again. And I'm just walking in the grace that's given. And if we leave that place, we are erring greatly. And all will become is another denomination. Another movement of God that's become, we do this, this way, we do this, rules, a list of things. Now, structure I'm not against. Ordained by God. Structure is ordained by God, and it's important. And if there's anyone that thinks church government's important, it's me. And all of our leaders, we talk about it often, and are very. It's very important. But again, it's when we got all our structure, but we don't have a love for Christ, a simple love for Jesus Christ, and that's what we want. That's what we want to see. And I am absolutely sure that there has been backsliding from that within the movement. And for some, they've never gone there. They've never been there. And so whatever category you might be in, I pray that this week will be a week of just refreshing, of refocusing, that we can go back to our ministries with that passion for Jesus, my Savior, the lover of my soul. I love to sit at His feet and worship His name. Ministry, I do that too. But I'm not about that. Man, I'm about walking with my Lord. Because I'm going to heaven. Because I'm born again. And you know what? If ministry's taken from me and everything falls apart, fine, fine. That's great. If that's what the Lord has, great. Because that's not my life. My life is Him. If He's taken from me, I'm dead. I'm devastated. I'm going to be thrashed. But if it's Jesus, the lover of my soul, the one to whom I belong, the one to whom I serve, I don't serve the church, I serve Him, and I serve in His church. And this movement, it's not my movement, it's His. And our church at home, it's not my church, it's His. And when there's problems and situations and struggles and stresses and worries, they're not my problems. They're not my worries, they're His. I'm simply His child. And I will be led by Him and be able to deal with those situations as He leads me, but I'm not going to get all upset about it. I'm not going to let it affect my walk. I'm not going to get all stressed out in the flesh. I've got to be a pastor and deal with these problems. And the problems are dealing with me and destroying me. But I'm going to worship in the midst of chaos. And, you know, I love, and the reason I don't call this a conference but a retreat is because that's what Jesus did. And I don't know where you are in ministry, but maybe you feel like this. I'm going to read from the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 6. It says this, and I love this. I shared this with the guys in the School of Ministry some time back as we went and took a little hike. Verse 30, it says, then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told Him all things, both which they had done and the things that they had taught, ministry at its finest. And He said to them, come aside by yourself to a deserted place and rest a while. I hope you get rest while you're here. For there, listen to this, this is what catches my mind, for there were many coming and going, and they didn't even have time to eat. You ever felt like that, Aaron? You didn't even have time to eat. Again, some of you aren't in that place of ministry. Some of you are. And I'll tell you what, if you're not, that's a reality. There are times I don't even have time to take lunch. There are so many things to do. People are needy. People need me. They need this. They need that. You know what they need? They need the Lord. And if I don't have the Lord, I don't have anything to give them. And the most important thing I can do for the church is just go away and seek the Lord. But there's problems, but there's counseling, but there's this. It can wait a day. It really can. I know they don't think it can. I know everything's an emergency. But it really can. Because if it doesn't, there's not going to be anything happening. But people in the flesh, you know, I've seen so many people, and I speak of myself included, in the flesh in ministry, and it's so grieving to the Lord. Satan's trap. Oh, but if he can just get us just working and going crazy. And if you know me, and the pastors at our church know me, and some of you, Bruce knows me, Stacy knows me, I'm a pusher. We got things to do. We got to go. Let's go. We got to move. Right, Stace knows me probably better than anybody in that area. And so I'm not saying, well, we just kick back and just say whatever. But what I'm saying is we can be busy in ministry without being stressed out. And that's what I want to talk about. I can be doing a lot of things and be simple and walk in simplicity. Jesus did. Jesus was the busiest guy I'd ever seen. But He never seemed to be frustrated, spun out, at the end of His rope, ready to choke the next congregant because they're just too much for Him. But filled with the Spirit of God, anointed by God, walking in the power that God has available for every one of us. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, that's not an idea, that's a reality. And I've experienced it enough to know it. And it's a blessing. And it's where I want to be. And you know, your heart's at rest. You're loving Jesus. You're walking with Him. Well, let's turn to the text that Drew stole from me yesterday. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation 2, the church of Ephesus. This is really the foundation to our entire retreat. And I hope everything might be built upon this. To the angel of the church of Ephesus writes, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear with those who do evil, and that you hate those who say that they are apostles and are not, and have found them to be liars, and you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Wow! That's the kind of church I want to be in. Amen? I mean, that's a happening fellowship. That's a people involved with missions. A people involved with apologetics. A people that are a holy people. They don't bear evil. A people that would dare think about excommunicating somebody that was worthy of it. Oh, excommunication. Today in our age, that's, they don't bear evil. They walk with God. They find those that are false prophets, false apostles, false teachers, and they mark them out. They claim them to be liars. They labor. I like people that labor. I'm all about labor. I love those phrases Paul says, and we labor and toil. I like that. There's labor in them. They're working. There's energizing of the Lord. There's a work happening in them. I look at Paul's life, and any of you that know me know that I'm a freak for the book of Acts. I'm the Acts guy. You want to know something about Acts? I probably know it because I love it so much. I just can't stay away from it. Acts. Give me Acts. Why? And it's really chapter 13 and on. Right now I'm teaching Acts. I'm just getting through the things that I have to teach until I really get to what I want to teach. Acts chapter 13 and on, baby. Now we're going to be talking about my heart. You think I'm going slow now? I'll do my best, but I ain't promising anything. Paul. Because who's Paul? A laborer. A mover. A guy that gets things done. A guy that plants churches. A guy that's all about missions. A guy that's got courage and sees revival. Guy that I see, yeah, that's my boy Paul. I gotta be just like him. Boy, so you look at that list and you just go, hey, that's us. We do it for his sake. We're not out to say, it's us, it's for our sake. It's for his sake. We love God. You come to the church, we worship the Lord, we love the Lord. The things we do, all of the people that I know in ministry, they're doing it because they love God. They're not doing it because they love to be known. You know, Katie and Christian are in Africa because they like to be in newsletters. They could care less about it. They probably hate the newsletters and wish they didn't have to be bugged with them. You know, they're not out there. They hate coming home and everybody goes, oh, Chris, are you Christian? You know, Christian just puts his head down and goes, yeah. I mean, you know, it's not something that they're looking forward to. Christian's out there because God called him. Because the Lord led him. He's there to glorify God. He's there to labor for his name's sake. There's purity. And so, and I want to point that out. What a movement we're in. But Jesus said this, nevertheless, though this is true, though this is good, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Wow. Jesus says to a church like Ephesus. Now, again, I love the book of Acts, and I love Ephesus because it's the hub of Paul. As Drew shared yesterday, it's the church, baby. Ephesus is the church. as you look on into the 80s and 90s of the first century, it's the place. That's where John's writing to these churches, the churches of Asia. Where did the churches of Asia come from? Ephesus. That was the hub. I like hubs. I'm all about being the hub. That's my calling, is to send and to be that place for people to come back, to be refreshed, to send them back out. The hub. That was Paul. He made it the hub. When Paul was dead, it was still the hub. It was a good church. But I have this against you. You've, note the phrase, you've left your first love. You didn't lose it. There are many of us today that have it. It's somewhere in there. You didn't lose it. You don't know where it went. You don't know where it is. Oh no, we better search. It's buried under the snow somewhere. Everybody go look. I lost my car keys. They're out in the field. We were out there. Naif and I were wrestling. He won, of course. But I lost them. They fell out of my pocket. They're out there somewhere. Everybody help me, because it's getting cold and I got to go home. I've lost them. I can't see them. I don't know where they are. That's not what he says. You've left them. Oh, on the table over there, I left my car keys. They're right there. See them? Go get them. Trent, if you want to go get your car keys. They're right there. You see, this is all we're talking about. We have walked away from our first love. Our first love, it's right there. You can see it. You can taste it. You know what it is. And what's Jesus saying? I love Jesus because he loves me. He says, Trent, just go back. There's no condemnation. I mean, you could call it a rebuke, but it's not like, you miserable, wretched sinner. It's go back. As simple as that. Go back. Let's go back for a minute. Now, each of us can seek the Lord over this idea and ask, what was my, quote, first love? I want to take us back to what the first love of this movement was. What was it? What caused us to even consider the idea of starting a church? You know, that wasn't an original idea. I don't know how many of you know that. When we started off, it wasn't, okay, easy, Rob, myself, Aaron, Mike Vincent. Okay, we're going to just, you know, raise Aaron up in worship and he can just learn how to just pour his heart out to God in front of everybody. Poor Aaron. He's got to do that all the time. And we'll study the Word and become scholars, and we'll start Bible schools, and we'll teach the Word, and easy, you'll do the evangelism, and I'll do the teaching, and Aaron will do the worship, and Rob, you do everything else. That's not how it happened. That's not how it started. It started when Rob was in a place of his life where he was broken, and God opened his eyes and he got born again. Oh, I love that word. It's got such definition for me. He got born again. And then his friend, Mark Bright, got born again. Praise the Lord. And then I got born again. Heidi got born again. Actually, Heidi got born again, and I got born again. And they started a study. I think they probably started to try to get me saved. You know, and we've talked, and some of you have heard it, and some of you haven't, so I'm going to share it. Because the study wasn't like a Bible study. It was like, let's read John, and let's figure out what it means. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Oh, yeah, and the, here it goes. The heresy begins to pour forth. I mean, Rob was saved 6 months. He was the king elder. 6 months. Wow, what's it like? How long have you been saved? 2 weeks. Wow. How long have you been saved? A month. How long have you been saved? 3 months. Well, 3 months. Whoa. Guy comes along. I've been saved 2 years. 2 years. Tell us about it. Born again, free from the sting of sin, just walking in the grace that's been given. Simplicity. Just born again. What did we do? What did we do when in those days? Well, let's see. We had spontaneous prayer meetings. What? Why? Why? Why did we have spontaneous prayer meetings? Because we loved God. Because I love you. My wife says because we didn't have any kids. Because we were so in love with God, we just said, hey, let's talk to Him. Let's just talk to the Lord. Wow, we can do that. Yeah. I can remember one night, our spontaneous prayer meeting. It was myself, Easy, I think two or three other brothers. We simply were fellowshipping. Went over to our brother's house, ordered some pizza, had some pizza. It was an all-guys night. Now, I was the charismatic guy, okay? Big time. Oil in the pocket, always. Okay? Why? Because I was just excited about the Lord, looking for Him to move. So, you know, there we were, and we decided, let's just pray. So we just started praying. Well, the little leader in me just comes out in those times. Pray. I'm just going to start anointing people with oil. I'm praying over them. I'm just going to pray. Now, what were we praying for? Nothing. We were simply praying, God, do Your will. We love You. We had no agenda. We didn't say, God, speak to us. Tell us where we're called to go. What country? No agenda. Our agenda was Jesus. We were in love. And so I can remember I laid hands on a brother and put oil on his forehead and prayed over him. I got baptized in the Spirit like a week before this. But I'm balanced. Those of you around Donnie, I don't just speak in tongues everywhere. Shopping malls, you know. I do things a little different. Though I speak in tongues just as much as him, but actually more. We have this fight. But so I'm praying over a brother, and then I come to the next, and it's easy, and I lay my hands on him, anoint him with oil. I'm just praying, bless him, Lord, fill him, touch him, use him. And then I go on to the next guy, and I'm about two guys away from Easy, and all of the sudden Pentecost happened. And I hear this Lebanese guy speaking in a tongue that's not Lebanese. And just magnifying the Lord. I mean, it was so beautiful. And he's just chest outstretched, arms open, just going. And then all of a sudden he just stands up and he just starts preaching the gospel. Okay, we're just in a guy's apartment. Just preach. I mean, the Spirit of God was upon him. He was getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, we weren't going, okay, it's time, come forward, we're baptizing the Holy Spirit here. He was just getting filled. And he received the gift of tongues, and he was baptized in the Spirit, and he's preaching the gospel, and then he's preaching in tongues, and then he's preaching in English, and oh, it was a glorious evening. That was a common thing in the early days. Why? Well, first of all, none of us were baptized in the Spirit. But more than that, because we simply gave God those opportunities. We just said, Lord, we're just here tonight not to become great Bible teachers, not to become these incredible spiritual giants. We're here because we're so in love with you, we have nowhere else we can go. And we just want to sit at your feet. And we just want to drink in of your presence. We just want to taste and see that you're good. And that's what we did. And God moved in ways I cannot even begin to share with you because of time. We had a Saturday night prayer meeting. None of us preached the next day. Usually we went to the latest service we could find. We all slept in. None of us had kids. But that prayer meeting, I'll tell you, was really some of those foundational things. And I share this with you to pass on to you history and vision. I'm not sharing with you this something, this is what we did and now we don't. If that's true, then let's return. It's simple. We don't have to work something up. It's a love for Christ. God moved in those prayer meetings. You want to talk about the Spirit of God moving, gifts flowing? Now, we weren't there. We didn't have a church. We didn't have agenda, but God save the lost. Pour out your Spirit upon us. God, we're here to worship. We just worship. We just sing to the Lord. And I'm talking hours. We just worship the Lord. There was no agenda. There was no set time. There was no, you know, bulletins. There was no announcement. There was a prayer meeting. And if you want to pray, we'll be there on Saturday nights. Just in love with Jesus. And if you're uneasy about the gifts, don't come. Because we're not all that balanced yet. Boy, I love not being balanced sometimes. Amen, Thomas? And I can remember one night in this prayer meeting, Heidi, you know, Heidi has this tongue as an angel. And I'd love to hear it more often. And we were there, and we were, Heidi and I would kind of link up and just start going for it. And we were having a sweet time. And all of us were, but Heidi and I were kind of over on the side just worshiping, going crazy. You know, James Cunningham, if any of you know him, I mean, he was a part of that. Oh, boy. That boy knows how to pray. And Heidi gets a vision. Heidi would see visions, and I'd usually get an interpretation. Heidi has this vision. And she says, I see this tree. Now, I forget all the details of it, but it was a tree, and there was like, either it was a pine tree with pine cones, or it was fruit on it. And she said, and it was beautiful. And all of a sudden, like a dark cloud came over it, and all of a sudden, these blackbirds came down and started picking off the fruit of this tree, whether it's pine cones or fruit or whatever, picking off the fruit. And the Lord began to show me, you're going to go into a dark season. And Satan, and I knew in the scriptures that Satan was often in parables as a blackbird. And Satan is going to begin to pluck people off of the Bible study. And God began to lead us and guide us by His Spirit, and He warned us. And you know, it wasn't but less than a month later that we found our first church split. And thank God our last. In the movement, Calvinism began to come into our Bible study. And from my memory, there was 13 guys that were plucked off. Now, it's not that Jesus had a different view than us. That's how it started. But today, they're not walking with the Lord. There's only one of them that still professes Christ. And you really wouldn't consider him as a guy that's really walking with the Lord. A lot of these guys are 10 times worse than they've been. And I'm telling you, guys that got born again from appearance. The Lord knows. He has a seal upon whose are His. But, I mean, these guys got saved. Drugs transformed. Lives changed. The things you guys have seen in Montana were people just born again. Beautiful work. My point is that God led a bunch of kids that didn't know the Word that well, that didn't know much by His Holy Spirit, because they just simply loved Jesus. And there was a leading, there was a guiding. I think to our personal lives, those of us that were there. What did our personal life consist of? It consisted, now again, we weren't married and didn't have kids. It consisted of fellowship. And when I mean fellowship, I mean fellowship. Stirring each other up. Just love with God. You get five people together that are in love with Jesus, you're going to have a room filled with Jesus. And joy and blessing and excitement and passion and the Word of God and the Lord, and He's good, and there was just sweetness. I think about our personal times. We would just spend hours in the Word of God. We would just, why? Now here's the key. Why did we spend hours in the Word of God? Because maybe today you are. But why? It wasn't to be good teachers. It wasn't to put a message together. We weren't teaching. We didn't have a message to put together. I can think of the verses we memorized. Verse after verse. Why? Why did we memorize verses? We're so in love with the Lord. We want His Word in our heart. We'd hold it dear to us. It was important to us. We'd find we'd memorize things without trying because we were so in love with God and His Word. We'd just read it over and over and over and over. And pretty soon we'd just know it. Times of turning off the lights, going into my bedroom by myself, putting on a CD. Well, actually, in those days, a tape. I'm not that old. I actually had one of those in my truck, but I won't date myself here. But yeah, oh, absolutely. And Aaron still hasn't repented. Amen. Hosanna integrity. Woo! Amen. Oh, no, I'll spare you. There are a few things I leave in the grave. I'll do it for you later. But taking communion by yourself. Nobody taught you. Just love with Jesus. Just spending time lighting a candle, pretending like you're Charles Spurgeon or something. You know, living in that day. You guys in Africa can do it. Light your, you know, kerosene lanterns and just study. Oh, simplicity. Sorry, get beside myself here. But just waiting on the Lord, just worshiping the Lord. Just, I can remember, just drinking in the Scripture. For me, I just, Bible on tape, just over and over, just waiting on the Lord. Just drinking in the Psalms and just reading the Scriptures. You know, Easy could talk, you know, to us about the times, you know, God, just, we just go through the New Testament, just reading. You know, we had listed out how fast we could get, you know, 3 weeks traveling through the New Testament. Why? So I could be a better teacher? No, I wasn't a teacher. So I could know the Lord. No other reason. Ministry wasn't, what was ministry? A Thursday night Bible study? Going out witnessing because it was our passion and love? It wasn't like ministry that we see today. It was sweetness. It was Jesus. And I just wonder right now how many of us are in that place. And again, you only know. Again, there's life here. There's blessing. There's God moving. There's people stirred up. But how many of us honestly spend time with the Lord just to be with Him because we just love Him? We just can't imagine being anywhere else. We say, well, I don't have time. Well, you have time to do the things you love. And that's all I'm going to say about that. You have plenty of time. Because you're doing that which right now you love to do. You make time. But it's not that important anymore. Because we've got more important things. Well, I got to study. Teach in class on systematic theology. I've got to master the book of Romans. Because I got to teach it. Not because I love God and love the ideas of salvation. And I just love to dive in there and drink it in. But I got to be ready to teach it. I got to know how to explain it. And there's, and again, there's nothing wrong if you're teaching the book of Romans. Please know what you're teaching. Please study it. Please understand it. But what's your first love? What's that which is moving you today? Why today do you even want to be at a leadership conference retreat? Why is it today that you want to be at a leadership retreat? Because you're in leadership, or want to be. Why is it that you're here? What is it that's happening? What is it that's going on within your heart, within your life right now? Is there a passion for Jesus Christ like no other passion of your life? A question to ask yourself is, if ministry was stripped from you right now, if ministry was taken from you, if ministry was taken out of your hand right now, what would that do to you? Would you be thrashed? Would you be confused? Would you be troubled? If God just shut the doors, say you're there on the mission field and the Lord just shuts the doors, brings you home. It's over. You're done. For whatever reason, where would your walk be? Now, Drew shared. Into the mission field, realizing, where's your walk? You leave all of these comforts, these blessings, worship, fellowship, a good church, brothers and sisters to fellowship with, and you're just dumped off in another place, looking around going, these people are Christians, but they're not Christians like I know Christians. But God's called me to try to bring them to what I know is Christianity. And you begin to realize, what is Christianity? Is it ministry, or is it a love relationship with Jesus Christ? And I absolutely believe it is one of the easiest things to repent and to return to that place. Just do it. It's right here. You're here. You see it. Go get it. Brothers and sisters, it is as simple as that. God is gracious, merciful, compassionate, and loving. And He's simply calling us to go back to what we know. Think about the deepest times you had in your walk with the Lord. You can think about them. You remember them. Think about what you did in those times and just simply go back to them, period. What gets us is stress, anxiety, worry. And we're stressed over people's problems. We're stressed over, if you're a teacher, I've got to teach tonight. And I don't fully understand this text because I haven't had enough time to fully study it like I want to. Let me explain something to you. You'll never fully understand the text. You'll never I've mastered this book. I have no more to learn about it, and now I'm ready to teach it. You'll never come to that point. I think I've taught the book of Acts 5 times, and I feel like a kindergartner when I'm studying. Like I don't have a clue what I'm doing. And I just kind of, I've been here before. What was that again? And I'm telling you, it's simple. The Lord is simple. And what I want to do the rest of the week is give us simple steps of what simplicity means. And I'm really going to share with you, and I hope you receive it. It's my heart. I'm going to share with you the things that God has given to me, the things that make up my walk with the Lord. And I'm just going to pass those on and say, here's the doctrines, here's the truths that I find that keep me in this place of
simplicity. And I'll tell you what. I have a simple walk with the Lord. I am such a blessed man. God has made me as a simple person. And I'll tell you, I can just, you know, and I'm speaking from experience. I'm speaking of not being in that place, then being there, then not being there, and then being there. And I've come to a place, and I'm not saying I've arrived by any means, as Paul says, I haven't obtained. But I've learned some things to do wherever I am, if I'm in sin, if I'm walking in holiness, if I'm discouraged, if I'm encouraged, whatever. There's one thing to do. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But it's the most freeing and greatest thing. Listen, I'm probably the deepest in ministry here. Really, everything falls upon me if it can't fall upon you. And I'm in a place where I can be absolutely overwhelmed, devastated by what people say about me, about the church, about other people that I love. Devastated what people do with their lives, backslide, go off, err in different doctrines. And I watch people just being deceived, just heartbreaking. People gossiping, people slandering me, people challenging the way I might do ministry. It's difficult. The busyness, the pressure. Somebody says, Thomas says, Trent, we need to put a budget together. And we do. And Trent, we need to do this. And we do. And Easy says, and Trent, I need this, and I need this. And somebody in the congregation says, and Trent, I need some counseling. And somebody says, Trent, and I feel called to go on the mission field. And so much behind that. They don't even know what's behind them going on the mission field. But I'm getting experience in this, and I do. And I'm thinking, man, I need to do this, and I got to deal with this. And you know, the reality is I can't. The reality is I can't do it all. The reality is I've neglected missionaries because I just can't do everything. And not saying that you guys aren't doing anything. You guys are a blessing. I've got the greatest staff ever in the world. Greatest pastors working around me. It's amazing. The reality is I'm simply going to fry my brain and my spirit and my walk with the Lord and my life if I try to hold all this. And I feel like, I've got to do this, and I've got to do this, and I don't even have time to eat. And I look at Jesus, and he just says, you know, why don't we just go seek the Lord? And I go, that's impossible. And I go on my way, and I'm stressed. But I got to do this. I don't got time. And in the midst of it, I'm not really doing anything but spinning my wheels like I'm stuck in mud. And I'm not going anywhere. And I'm only getting deeper and deeper in it and get more frustrated, more frustrated. And pretty soon I'm just going to walk away and say, forget it. Forget it. I can't do this. Aha. Duh. That's where you started. And I'm going to share some things with you, some doctrines that God gave me in the beginning that have kept me going on. Because the real issue is God has called us to walk. Hear me. Walk in His Spirit in the midst of chaos and love it and be passionately in love with Jesus in the midst of it. And I'm telling you, it's not only possible, but it's yours for the taking. It's ours. That's God's calling in our life. And to love ministry and to love the Lord and to love people, and when they err, to be brokenhearted and just to learn how to worship the Lord and learn how to trust Him in His sovereignty and learn how to just surrender all you have to Him and learn how to worship Him even deeper. And when you just don't know what you're going to do and feel like you can't teach, you can't speak, you can't lead, to just worship Him again and just go lead and teach and speak, and you think you can't, fine, because it's not about you. It's got nothing to do with you. It's about Him. And you find a sweetness of fellowship and blessing. And the reality is, you will find the anointing of God upon your life like you can't even imagine. And you'll just bear the fruit of the Spirit. Instead of anger, bitterness, wrath, lashing out coming out of you, there's love. Instead of depression, burnout syndrome, frustration, there's joy. Instead of anxiety, there's peace. Instead of being quick, snappy, frustrated with people, there's patience. There's a long suffering. It's not yours, it's his. But you're filled with him. You're in love with him. You're anointed by him. You are simply his vessel, and you're thankful that he's chosen. And you're just along for the ride. And boy, it's a ride. When you're doing it, it's not a ride. You're spinning in the mud. Boy, when he's doing it, it's a ride like you can't imagine. And the Lord is doing that work in you and just stirring your heart, leading you and guiding you. And you're just like, hey, if I never get put on staff, if I never fulfill my, quote, visions, who cares? As long as I'm filled with the Spirit of God and being used by God and however he wants to use me. If that means I'm the janitor of the church for the rest of my life, I'm just going to praise him because I'm going to do it filled with the Spirit. Bruce, you stole my calling. It's an inside joke, Bruce and I have. It's a love for Christ. And it's a simple life. And you know what? People are going to see it. You know what they're going to see? Jesus. Isn't that what you want them to see? They're going to see Jesus. They're not going to see you. They're going to see Jesus. They're going to see that loving Savior. They're going to see someone who cares for them, not someone who's too busy. Someone's like, yeah, got to go. Somebody that's incredibly busy, but cares. Realizing God's going to deal with the details of my business later. Because the Lord has got a thing right now. The Lord has opened a door, and the Lord's going to anoint this, and I'm just going to let him use me. And you know what? I'm going to... Do you know the results of being used by God? Is you were just a vessel that the Holy Spirit was flowing through. Do you know the results of that? Blessing. You got touched by the presence of Almighty God. That's fun. That's ministry. At least that's what ministry should be. You got touched, filled, anointed. God spoke through you. And as God spoke through you, he spoke to you, and you got touched by your Savior once again. And you just walk away just, yes. Easy always talks about it when you go witnessing. You leave going out just dragging your heels. Oh, I don't know. I can't do this. And you leave just clicking them together, leaping for joy. That was great. Why? Because you were a vessel and God spoke. And though the people that you were talking to rejected you, you walk away just, woo! Why? Why is that? What's the logic to that? God spoke and you know it. You're saying things you don't know. There's verses that came to your mind you didn't know you knew. And you know God is touching me right now. And you're blessed. The result of serving God will be blessing every time. Even when it's affliction, when it's trial, when it's your soul that you feel like you're going through the darkest time, you feel like your soul's being vexed by evil, by temptation. When it's said and done, there's blessing. You're satisfied. You're satisfied, and it's not ministry that's satisfying you. It's not the response I get. It's not the results I get. It's Jesus Christ living in me. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. It's the love for my soul is here. People don't want to listen, but I'll listen, Lord. What I spoke, I want to take heed to. You slip away, get away with them. Seek them. Have a sweet time. So, the church isn't growing, and there's not hundreds of people. And Drew's there and there's four people. But he's not there for people. He's there because God's called him and he's there to love Jesus. And if there's four people, well, that's a lot easier than 400. Trust me, Drew. and enjoy it and have a great time and pour your life into those four and love God and be blessed and allow your soul to be enriched and deepen with the Lord and grow with Him. Satan would love to turn that around for the worst thing that ever happened to you. Use it to burn you out, to dry you up, and to ruin your walk. And I fear that Satan has already begun and has taken some of us on a long journey already of deception of what ministry is about. And we're missing it. And I pray that this week will be a week of renewing us back to the simplicity that's in Christ. Amen. It's time for that glorious time lunch. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, for the truth that's found there. And we pray that, God, you would fill our hearts with your spirit and do your work in us. We bless you and thank you and honor you. Pray that you would just bless this retreat. Do, Lord, I pray, keep us safe. Those that haven't arrived yet, I pray that you would bring them safely. God, I pray that you would anoint us and help us to hear. For, Lord, we want to have an ear to hear what your Spirit says to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.